My name is Gary Butterfield, he, him.
My name is Kay Ross, she, her.
And you're listening to Best Quality Vacuum, the duck feed show about Better Call Saul.
Yeah, and this week, we're talking about a real highlight of season two here, Inflatable, which is an episode that was written by Gordon Smith, directed by Colin Buxey, and originally aired on March the 28th of 2016.
Yeah, we got some movement. Mm-hmm. You know, Kim has gotten her offer, so that's official, from Schweikert and Coakley. She's going to take that and leave HHM, but there's going to be a little bit of a twist to that. Mm-hmm. And Jimmy, you know, this gives Jimmy the idea to leave. There's some hoops he has to jump through, but he's actually going to leave.
Yeah.
Finally. Like, yeah. I love Bob Balaban. Not Bob Balaban. I always get those two confused. Nonstop.
I like Bob Balaban. Bob Balaban.
I do like Bob Balaban. What an odd thing to say. Unprompted. I like Bob Balaban. What's his name?
Cliff Davis. Mumbly Joe.
Yeah. I can't remember his name.
Ed Begley Jr. Yeah.
There we go. He's also in the Christopher Guest movies. That's why with Ed Begley Jr. I like him too. We're not going to lose him, which I like. He shows up from time to time, but I am sick of Davis and Maine. So sick of it. And we're going to leave.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we're finally out of the ill-fitting suit plot line, the Jimmy being a bad fit, you know, which really has just kind of been, you know, in terms of conflicts, like last episode we talked about. He needs an antagonist. Like, this is really just fully in the, like, man versus self category.
He acts like he wants the thing he wants.
Mm-hmm.
And it took a long time to get there. And, like, again, I get that that's an internal struggle. But him just saying, no, this is what I am and this is what I want.
Mm-hmm.
It's wild that it takes two seasons to get there.
Yeah.
You know, like, having a character wrestle with, that's a long plot line to wrestle, mm-hmm. long time to wrestle with that plot line, if you like.
Yeah.
On the other hand, we don't get a whole lot with Mike's storyline, but that's okay. He's kind of following through with his deal with Hector, sets up Stacy and Kaylee in a new place, and also we get the hints that it's not over between the two of them.
Yes. I mean, Mike straight up stalks them.
Yeah.
Like, he's going full Punisher on them right away at the end of this.
It happens next episode for, like, the whole episode as well.
Yeah.
It's the Punisher episode. Interestingly, the cold open for this episode was going to be featured in Pimento, but it got cut for time. The actor in this who plays Jimmy's dad was once in The Lone Gunman.
Is it the dad or is it the grifter? X-Files.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think it's the dad, because I thought I recognized him.
Oh, okay.
I haven't watched tons of Lone Gunman, but I've seen some of it. Like, it's so, the thing about the Lone Gunman, you know, me and Liv were watching X-Files, we kind of stalled out.
Yeah.
It is three of the least telegenic men in the history of TV. And I don't want to just focus on how people look, but there is kind of like a standard for look-at-ableness that shows up on TV. Uh-huh. We all just accept it. I'm not saying it's the right way to be. It just is.
Yeah.
It's really wild to do a show about those guys where, like, fully 66% of them are very difficult to look at.
Have you got a Dean Haglund in the mix?
Yeah. It's it's a wild idea.
Forgive me for not being up on my X-Files lore, because I think by the time The Lone Gunman came around, I really wasn't watching the show very much. Weren't they, like, comic relief characters?
Yes.
They were? Okay.
They're Mulder's got three jackass buddies who run a conspiracy website newsletter thing, and they all come from different fields of expertise, and they all have different kind of little, you know, they each have like one character quirk, and whenever the plot needs Mulder to find something out he couldn't find out, he goes to their weird, I don't know, I think it's like a battle van. But they have, it's like extremely unclear what he's in.
Is there a pizza shooter on the top?
Yeah, it's a small room that he goes to where they have like a bunch of computers and tape decks.
Uh-huh.
And he finds out the next plot doodad.
Okay.
And then Froicky makes a gross comment about Scully. And then we all laugh and we go on. I am not a big fan of The Lone Gunman.
Yeah, yeah.
Zach Hanlon might have different opinion. I know Zach Hanlon, friend of the show, friend of the network, has a lot of X-Files opinions. This could be a sacrilege, but I am not a big Lone Gunman guy.
Yeah, they did predict 9/11, though. So
they did.
Yeah.
But so did I. It comes right after 9/10. Like, it's not fucking hard. I do it every year.
Every
like, I get a book that gives me spoilers for the whole year.
Yeah, mine has a different Far Side comic on it.
Yeah.
Every day. Yeah. Oh gosh, yeah. I must have misread the trivia piece. But let's talk about that cold open, because there's not much other trivia about this.
No,
you know, like I think Pimento was the episode where we would have got like this would have been like a flashback with Chuck telling Kim the story about their dad's shop, right?
Was that in Pimento?
Maybe.
Like, I don't think so. I think that came a couple episodes after Pimento.
Oh, Pimento was the second to last episode.
I don't think that the episode where Howard was telling Kim about this was this season.
Oh, shit. Yeah, you're right.
Just a couple episodes ago. So I think this would have just... It's weird that they can take a cold open and it could basically fit in any episode.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that's like the interesting thing to me. And I think that because they didn't do that cold open, they ended up having Howard do that monologue, but they still had this, and this is still interesting and good.
Yes. Yeah. So we're flashing all the way back to 1973. There's nothing, like, there's no text on the screen to tell you this. All you have is the cover of the Playboy that that Jimmy is looking at. Young Jimmy. Yep. 13 Fonz. Years old-ish. Yeah.
Yeah. The Jimmy from Slippin' Jimmy, the animated series. He's pretending to sweep. When a guy comes in, the guy who looks like he stepped right off of Easy Rider, comes into the store and is like, hey, you know, I got to get this medicine for my kid. My car broke down.
Yeah.
You know, the thing that would really help me out is $5. You know, Jimmy's dad offers to fix the car. He's like, I don't want to trust it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just need $5 to get a cab.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
could come up with any excuse to get this $5, which was about $30 when this aired.
Yeah.
So fucking like
crazy.
Yeah, it's not nothing, right? And Jimmy has this guy's number because this is happening all of the time.
Yes.
He calls his dad over and, you know, kind of loudly to where the grifter can hear, saying like, hey, this man is a grifter. I love just the outrage on Chuck Senior's face here. Mm-hmm. Grifter, where did you learn that word? Mm-hmm. Heaven forfend.
Learn the G word. I like the guy who plays the older McGill, the father McGill as well. He looks a lot like Jimmy's father, I feel like.
Mm-hmm. Looks like a young, I mean like a young what's his name? Chuck actor.
Yeah.
Yeah, Michael McKean. Yeah, we got kind of a little bit of a, like, what if Lenny hit the straight and narrow?
Yeah, yeah. If anybody was in a Christopher Guest movie, we cannot remember their name.
No.
It's just not interesting. Like, Harry Barber? Is it Harry Shaver? I can't. Yeah. So he's like, everybody knows Chuck Sr.
Eugene
Senior's
LeVay. Sorry. Yeah.
Parker Daisy. Everybody knows that Chuck Sr. is an easy mark. The whole town's been scamming him left and right.
Yeah.
You know, and the man goes, oh, don't bother, I'll leave. And Chuck Sr. says, but what if we're wrong, Jimmy? Like, we would be responsible for this kid getting hurt. Mm-hmm. You know, it is better to err on the side of kindness and maybe get scammed.
Yeah.
You know, and Chuck doubles down. I'll give you $10.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to give you free spark plugs and get your car fixed.
I'm going to put them in there.
You're going to the hospital twice. Chuck goes around to look for spark plugs, and the guy immediately drops the masquerade.
Yeah. Yeah, because he's talking to a kid.
Yep, he thinks this kid is not with it enough. You know, he said, how much for a carton of Kools? $4, and he wants to get two of them. You know, and Jimmy, not completely a sucker, says money first, and he peels off this money from a huge wad of money.
Yeah.
He does not need money. He has tons.
He doesn't
of money.
Need $5 at all.
Yeah, he's got many $5.
There are so many fives there. He should have been giving some fives to the business. It would have made a lot of difference. Maybe Chuck wouldn't have been such a monster later. Yeah.
It would have saved the business. Before the guy leaves, he knows that Jimmy's onto him, you know? And he says, listen, there are wolves and sheep in this world, kid. Wolves and sheep. Figure out which one you're going to be. And the man leaves, and Chuck Sr. goes, oh, you left? Like, goes out to help him fix his car and catch him. And Jimmy takes the $8 for the Kools. Mm-hmm. Not good behavior. You know,
nope.
He's not stealing from the man. He's stealing from his dad. Somebody, I think on the Slack or on the Patreon, was like, you know, you're letting Jimmy off the hook too much. This is bad. Yeah. I'm letting Jimmy off the hook for making a good commercial. Like, there needs to be degrees. Like, morality and rule following is not black and white, right? Like, this does suck.
Yeah.
That he does this. I do think that the fact that he did this and then made an attempt to change by, you know, getting in the mailroom and getting his degree and that being rejected by the world. Like, he was on a trajectory to get better.
Yes.
You know, and got knocked back into his original orbit by Chuck.
Yeah, by Chuck not just believing that Jimmy couldn't change, but like enforcing that he couldn't. Yeah. Because, you know, even though like Chuck could never forgive Jimmy for this, even though Jimmy was one of many authors of their dad's downfall, right? Yeah.
And he could not take, he could not put any blame on his father for this, even though now we're kind of seeing it like this is some fucking pigeon.
Yeah. No, this guy, he needs a little bit more cunning, let's say.
Yeah. They him doubling down and be like, five, I'll give you 10. That's fucking crazy. So, two cabs.
You said your nephew needed a kidney? Fuck it. I'll give you 3.
Yeah, I'll give you mine. I'll give you mine and both my sons.
Yep.
It's my final offer. So we cut over to Jimmy, and he's sketching logos. At this point, we only see a W and an M, but this is going to be for Wexler McGill.
Yes.
We're going to find out.
Yeah.
And he waits for Mike. Mike shows up, and he's there to take Mike into the DA to amend his statement.
Yeah. Is this the first time we see Lady DA?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
She's going to factor in later. I love her incredulity at literally fucking everything.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty well-observed character. I like how the other people who are in the kind of general law orbit, not in a firm, are Oakley and then like this lady. They kind of get one trait.
But the story is like, hey, I need to say like it that gun wasn't Tuco's. Like it wasn't his. We're not saying it's Mike's, but
And they're like, no, that doesn't make any sense. You know, Tuco's prints were already all over the gun. And Jimmy goes, who knows? You know, maybe a passing bird dropped it from its beak and Tuco picked it up.
Yeah.
The possibilities are literally endless.
Reminds me of one of my favorite King of the Hill jokes where like the guys are out golfing and Bill's like, okay, so if I hit the ball and then a bird picks it up and then drops it and it goes in the hole, does that count as a hole in one? And Hank says, Bill, what are the odds of that happening twice?
It's real good.
Yeah. But it's just obviously Jimmy is blowing smoke here, you know, and the prosecutors figured out just, you know, like looks past Jimmy because he's a clown to Mike. And so it's like, hey, were you threatened? Like if you're doing this, like you're being victimized twice. Right.
Yeah.
And victimized is a strange way to put it when Mike was there to set this up. But from her perspective, like, yeah, no, you can't do this.
Yeah. Don't fold.
No.
You know, and Jimmy goes, hey, back off. You know, if you keep pressing the issue, he's going to testify for the defense. Mm-hmm. And him saying this kind of tips off, the lady DA who goes, did he threaten you or pay you off? Mm-hmm. You know, and Jimmy's like, enough, we're out of here. And I like this little bit here. I like Jimmy and Mike's relationship a lot. Jimmy tells Mike, like, hey, you're doing the right thing. And Mike's like, what do you, thank you. You know, why are you telling me this? He's like, no, I mean, don't be hard on yourself. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm scared of Tuco. I had a run in Tuco. I would have done the same thing. Discretion is the better part of valor. And Mike hates hearing this because Mike does not like that he just did this.
Mm-hmm. He's already having trouble. And to, you know, see somebody as kind of like compromised and slippery and to Mike's eyes, kind of pathetic.
Yeah, like cowardly.
Yeah.
You know, not a person of principle.
Like, yeah.
Mike's arc during the show, and we get it with his final talk with Nacho's dad, is that he considers himself to be better than the other people he's wallowing with, and he's not.
Right.
And his arc in the show is figuring that out, basically, so he can be where we have him in Breaking Bad, which will basically, he'll do anything. He's not killing people willy-nilly, but he's not above doing it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he's going to shoot that guy through the hand, right?
Yeah. not a thing he would do at this point in the series.
Right. And Mike gets really pissed off. This is not the person you want an endorsement from, you know, and he gets off, like he presses the door open, gets off the elevator, says like, you go ahead. And Jimmy's like, hey, this one's free. And he says, no, bill me. Like,
yeah, you take the next one.
You've insulted me.
Yeah. Bill me for this. Jimmy doesn't know what to make of this. He takes a call from Kim, who's about to resign from HHM.
Yeah.
And, Jimmy's ecstatic about this. My plan can move forward. He starts dictating his resignation letter to Omar. This show's obsession with perfect brown-skinned assistants is incredible. They're all saints.
Uh-huh.
Like if in the Breaking Bad universe, you have a person of color and it's a guy and he's your assistant, he is the best person in the show.
Yep.
Like, I would want to spin off with Ernesto and Omar just fucking helping each other move. Like just back and forth between the same two apartments, like just being bros. Like,
just swapping.
Yeah. Just they're so good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's so loyal. Ever suffering, like as Omar realizes, so, you know, just with a heavy heart. Oh, that sounds like a medical condition.
Yeah.
But just like, oh, you're leaving. Like, oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't realize how unhappy you were. Omar, like, believes that he's done something wrong here.
Yeah. You might, you know, and Jimmy's like, no, I didn't do that. I'm not, you know, I'm not unhappy. I'm just not happy. Great line. and he goes, you know, well, like, you know, I got my bonus. And Omar goes, well, yeah, but if you quit before your year is up, you have to pay your bonus back.
Uh-huh.
You know, and Jimmy's like, whoa, you know, looks up the contract and everything. This is something Jimmy did not realize.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
Jimmy comically walks it back.
You know?
Just, I didn't mean that. Sometimes you have to say something out loud to realize how crazy it is.
I love it here. Yeah.
No, not a word of this to anybody, Omar, please. Uh-huh. You know, Omar keeps the secret because Omar is fucking perfect.
Yes. Yeah. Omar would take a bullet for you. Yes. and like, I don't know, on my first watch of this, I thought, okay, Jimmy's walking this back because he's already spent the bonus, right?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
No, he has plans for that money.
Yeah.
Like this is not worth it if he doesn't have that money to do what he's going to do to Kim later on in the episode, right?
Yeah. He drives back to Albuquerque and he's, you know, trying to figure this out. And he sees a wacky waving inflatable arm man. Those two men that D. Reynolds dances like. And it's wearing a tie.
Wacky waving inflatable arm flailing tube man. Wacky waving inflatable arm flailing tube man.
Yes. Yeah,
it's wearing a tie and it's like, yeah, done up in like really bright colors. Like those are wont to be.
And we get a really fun montage of Jimmy getting fired. As being a bad culture fit. He's hanging up a bunch of new suits and shirts in this rainbow of colors. He got very loud ties. And we get this little montage of scenes that pop up of him doing this with little cuts in between. Uh-huh. It's very stylish and fun.
Yeah, like just the editing on like showing the wacky waving inflatable arm flailing tube man. Yeah. Just like dancing. Kind
of dancing
to the music.
Yeah, it's really good.
To the jaunty kind of like jazz big band kind of thing. Yeah.
It's the best montage since the Marco scam one.
Yes.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah.
He goes and meets a guy who runs a funeral home in a pink suit with a super loud tie. You know?
The look on Cliff Maine's face.
It's really good.
Just like, oh, what are you doing? And Jimmy's wanted to wear this kind of stuff for a while, yeah, right?
He loves this like, shit.
Yeah. He was looking longingly at those and when he was going to get the suit, get a suit made, the Hamlin to go blue one, right? Yeah. Like he's kind of becoming himself here. You love to see it. And you know, he's not just wearing these suits. He's also being like just straight up a noise hazard.
The worst coworker that you can imagine.
that juicer, that like juicer that is about the size of like a small Kia.
Yeah. the industrial juicer. And he's lying. You know, they're like, hey, turn that off. And he's saying, oh, you want one? You know, splashes juice on the guy.
Mm-hmm.
He gives the cleaning guy racist bad vacuuming advice.
Yep.
Speaking to him in broken Spanish to only pull the vacuum backwards.
Yeah.
And he's like, dude, I'm from Michigan.
Like, oh, so you haven't understood a word I've said.
Yeah. Very funny. Good joke.
Yeah.
And we get Cliff coming out being like, somebody's been leaving logs in the toilet with Aaron. I love this. Like, he's like, somebody's not been flushing the toilet. And Aaron's like, they're not number ones. Like, very fun.
Oh, God. What if it was number threes?
Yeah. Then you can't leave those in the toilet. And Jimmy's like, oh, you have to do this for water. I read that the watershed, you know, dropped 2 inches this year. It's real fun, but he needs a capper for this. Yeah. And he's thinking back to when Cliff was playing guitar in his office, obnoxious behavior, mm-hmm. but told him he needed something to help him wind down. And he's going through instruments and we get this like murderer's row of annoying instruments.
It's almost literally the scene of Bruce Willis, like looking at the weapons in the pawn shop in Pulp Fiction.
It's really fun. Like the second to last one is accordion. And then we don't see what the final one is.
We just hear it.
Yeah. It's really good. And it's a bagpipe, a nightmare instrument that should die. Like, my wife likes the bagpipes. I think it's because of her Ren Faire.
Okay.
I love her very much. Has heard a lot of bagpipes. I can't fucking... I think this is the worst instrument invented.
Yeah. I can understand having a cultural affinity for bagpipe as like ceremony. Like I've been to funerals where the person, sure, you know, like where the wishes like
if you're Irish, you know, and Jimmy's Irish, I suppose.
Please, Scottish.
Scottish, but like just having a, well, Jimmy's not even Scottish then, but having an instrument where the operative feature of it is it makes a really loud, unpleasant drone all the time. Like it is a bad instrument.
Yeah.
Even though I would love to have one and try to play it.
But like he's playing it in a concealed, like an enclosed office with all these people. It's hilarious. Somebody like comes, like Cliff Main comes in and says like, right, hey, can you stop that? He's like, oh, you can hear that through the door.
I love that. You can hear that through the door. And I love this scene. This is actually, we've had a big comedy scene and we have this sad scene after this. I really like it. Yeah. Cliff calls Jimmy into the office and says, listen, you've won. You know, you're fired. I figured it out. You want to be fired without cause so you can keep your bonus. Yep. If I fired you for the commercial, like I should have, you don't get it. If you quit, you don't get it, but you'll get it this way.
Yeah.
And Jimmy's like, oh, I'm sorry you feel that way. Still putting up the act. And Jim, Cliff cuts through it.
Yeah.
And says, just tell me how we mistreated you, man.
Yeah. Like
we, you never gave us a chance.
Yeah. Like we gave you a chance, but like it's kind of been like this from day one. Like just basically, why are you being a jerk to us? Right. Yeah. And Jimmy answers honestly, right?
Yeah, like
the act is down, you know, just be like, I tried, but I, you know, I'm a square peg. And he's like, you know, if you knew that, then why did you take the job? Great
question. Because you didn't want to disappoint Kim, because Kim put herself in the line to get it.
Yeah.
Because he's a wife guy. Uh-huh. And Jimmy says, how much was that? He says, we even got you that Cocoa Bolo desk. He says, I don't have one of those. And Jimmy asks how much it was. It's $7,000. Uh-huh. Fucking A. We see the desk later in like a really clear shot. That is not $7,000 worth of desk.
Yeah.
And he goes, listen, I'll write you a check for it. Mm-hmm. You know, and he's about to leave. And Cliff says, you know, Cliff says, take your desk and get home. And he says, hey, Cliff, for what it's worth, I still think you're a good guy.
Not the way to go. Not the move. Not the play, Jimmy.
Yeah, just leave, man. Like, you can't win this. And then he's, you know, you want to be absolved. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of decisions Jimmy makes in the series questing for absolution, mm-hmm, which I understand. Like, I relate to that. If somebody is mad at me and I've done something bad, it is very hard for me not to be restless until I am.
Oh, it's an forgiven emergency. Yeah.
Like it makes my blood feel like it's on fire. And that's not good behavior. Sometimes people just need time.
Yeah.
You know? Not that they're going to become best friends, but like some things are also just not reparable.
Yeah.
You know, and Cliff fires back, you know, for what it's worth, I think you're an asshole.
Mm-hmm.
Good on Cliff.
Yeah. No. I wouldn't pay $7,000 for a desk. That's ridiculous. But the one that would be closest to getting me to fork over that kind of money would be George Costanza's desk when he gets it modified so he can nap under there.
Yeah, that's a really, and even without the mod, that's a good desk.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that's a nice big desk. A big, huge, like wooden, beautiful oak, like Professor X desk.
Mm-hmm.
Like I've thought about before and actually wanted to get one for this house because I'm like in a house, I'm not going to have to move. Mm-hmm. For a while, let's get one of those things. But I couldn't. I saw one, but the people would not move it up my stairs, and it won't fit through my door.
Oh God!
And I was like, "This is too much. I can't."
Yeah. No, you're.
So I just bought it.
You're in the like that's like piano movers.
Exactly.
Territory. Yeah.
So I just got a shitty put it together yourself desk.
Yeah, yeah.
Because everything is made of garbage now.
Yeah, and that's fine. Yeah.
If I sneeze, it'll fall apart. On his way out of the office, he grabs a drink can out of Aaron's hand and throws it into the waste paper basket, not recycling it. Good.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Before that I had a landlord that like looked through my garbage and told me things weren't recyclable.
Oh, we had this conversation. Yeah. Like it is the worst person in any workplace that does that. Going through your garbage is unforgivable. Yeah.
Like in Deadwood, that would be, you'd be fed to the pigs.
Uh-huh.
Like, you cannot do that. That sucks. That's like writing 10,000 notes.
Yeah, but a fucking landlord. Good Lord.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
So Kim's in her office. She's working on her resignation letter. And Jimmy knocks and says, hey, come to the conference room. We have to talk. It's important. Yeah.
I love the contrast between Jimmy doing this like fire hose of ways to get fired and Kim is like trying to parse like, okay, should I say I am unsatisfied or I continue to be unsatisfied? Like, she changes like two letters very fussily, and then here comes Jimmy
and he says, you know, he takes her into the conference room. He says, listen, would you take a better offer? you know, mm-hmm. than what Stryker gave you. How about this? Join me. Mm-hmm. You know, this is a proof of concept. He slides her the business card. He's like, I'm going to use my bonus to pay off your school debt. Mm-hmm. You, instead of waiting 2 years to be a partner, you can be a partner right away. Work for yourself. Do your own thing.
Yes. Yeah. And Kim raises a lot of very good practical concerns about this. Yeah. You know, no matter how snazzy that business card is with its little cutout, like, you know, like, I'm not going to have the stability.
It's a big risk.
Yeah. And Jimmy says, well,
she's risk averse and he is not.
Yeah. You can take Mesa Verde with you. And if you can't, like, that was all you, you can do it again. We can go through any number of post-it montages, Kim.
Yes. Yeah, I'll buy you a 6 foot tall stack of post-it notes. We will get you another Mesa Verde. All Jimmy wants is to live with Kim and do scams and flams.
Mm-hmm.
He is a consummate wife guy character, mm-hmm. Wife guy representation. And that's literally all he wants in the world.
Yes.
Not saying it's virtuous, but it's literally all it's his dream.
It is also him, let's say, transplanting or projecting his desire for acceptance from Chuck onto her. Like,
a little bit, but like, yeah. He does, they're in love. Like, they love each other. Like,
there's a different color to it, but like, this, you know, I need to work with this person who I want to respect me.
Yeah. Kind of thing. He does want the respect, even though he kind of gives that up in this conversation a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, which I like. But yeah, that's kind of what he's struggling with. But he's saying, how about we have it all? And what it all is the thing I want the most, but it's not the thing she wants the most.
Yeah.
He's making bad arguments. He's like, Schweikert's a lateral move. It's just another Howard waiting. The problem with Howard was not just that he ran a firm like this.
Right.
You know, he hates Howard. She doesn't hate Howard until he started treating her like shit because of something he did.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's him being a Howard does not actually make sense.
Yeah. And Kim gets to kind of the heart of her concerns here. Yeah, if we're going to be law partners, I need to know one thing. What kind of lawyer are you going to be? You know, not what kind of law are you going to practice, but are you going to play it straight, or are you going to be? And then she kind of like pauses herself. You know, she doesn't say like criminal. She says colorful.
Yeah. Like, push it. Bend some rules. Mm-hmm. And Jimmy says, I will be on the straight and narrow. I will do everything. And he looks down at his ring and is like, he can't do it. You know, it comes true. You know, yeah, he looks at Marco, and Marco's ghost says, no. He goes, there's no point if I can't be myself. You know, I've been trying to be somebody I'm not forever, you know, for Davis and Maine, for Chuck, for you. That's not your fault, but I have been doing that, and I can't do it anymore.
Yeah.
You know, and she doesn't understand. She's like, why do you want to work together? I mean, we're already, you know, she never wants to say they're in a relationship.
Right.
Fun, like, low-level character trait for Kim is it's very difficult for her to admit intimacy.
Yes.
And like, put stuff into words.
Yeah.
You know, why do you want me for this? You know, and he goes like, why do you need me? He's like, I want you as a lawyer. You mm-hmm. know, like, you're really good. And he's saying a lawyer, but really he just wants to do scams and flams and work with Kim.
Yeah.
24 hours a day with Kim, watching old movies,
mm-hmm.
going out to the bar and scamming dudes.
Yeah.
Yep. It's something in a Lady Marco. you know, and she says, you know, you've got me, just not as a law partner. I gotta get back to work. It's heartbreaking. It's very mm-hmm. sad. Even though Jimmy is making an unreasonable demand, it's still very sad.
He went on this limb, right?
Yeah. Watching somebody be rejected is tough.
Yeah. Cut over to check in on Mike. Mm-hmm. He's with Stacy looking at her dream house. It's gigantic. Mm-hmm. just huge windows. The neighborhood and the schools are all great. This is the same house that that she's in Breaking Bad.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike says like, hey, listen, you know, we're going to make this happen no matter the cost. And playing again into Stacy's motivations being weird. She says like, oh, I'm like a broken record, but the money, Mike, money.
Like, I need the finger thing needs the money. Means the money, father-in-law. Uh-huh. I hear your lips moving, but money's not coming out of them. Like, you should be spitting out dollars into my hand. They decide to take it. You know, he's like, Mike, I'll make it work. We have the same realtor Stacy thanks Mike and says, hey, your car looks good. You know, mm-hmm. it looks like it was never in a wreck in the first place. And he goes, my guy knows his stuff. Again, because we don't understand Stacy's motivations. I don't know if that's supposed to be her being like, hey, I know you didn't get into a car wreck.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like... Yeah. I know something else is going on. I have fucking no clue because they didn't tell this actress how to play it.
No. There's nothing behind the literal words that she is using. When we say it's the same realtor, it's the realtor who caught Marie stealing the spoons in the an open house.
Yes.
That episode. Yeah. So, just want to be specific because
there are a couple realtors.
if there's anything that Breaking Bad has established for us is that there are only four people in Albuquerque.
Yes, and they all, it's kind of like Magnolia. They all hover around each other for some reason. It's the cosmic balance.
Yeah.
Jimmy pulls up the nail salon in the Suzuki Esteem where Omar is driving a fucking U-Haul and is helping him with his Coca-Cola desk and helping him get all of his old shit out. That's crazy for an assistant he doesn't work for anymore. Or like,
he's not being paid. Jimmy offers to give him money and he says, no, I got to go get back to my kids.
My kids, like fucking saint, you know? And Jimmy, like, this is crazy. Omar's like, where should I put your old desk? And he's like, dump it on the side of the road. That's where I got it. Fucking go break your back doing this stuff. I'm not going to do it. He thanks him and everything, but then Omar goes, what are you going to do now? He goes, onward and upward. And then we don't see Omar again. I can only assume that he, like, ascends.
Yeah, no, he totally, he transcends. Omar is now energy.
Yeah, there's a little bit of him in the air now. This is crazy behavior. I know they, like, got along, but, so he starts recording an answering machine message in his fake assistant voice and says no. You know, it does his real voice.
Yeah. Sitting at this gigantic Coca-Cola desk in this generously 9x9 room.
Yeah, very less prison cell here. He has his pens and his Davis and Maine mug that he's keeping and stuff. It's just he's setting up his scum patch.
Mm-hmm. And then we get just like a brief little cutaway of Mike doing Punisher rehearsals outside of Hector's ice cream place.
We have Kim with her interview with Schweikert and some other people from the firm, and you know, like, enough about your law, what about you? You know, she says she's from the Kansas-Nebraska border, as was foretold by the shirt. You know, why did you come to Albuquerque? And she said, you know, I didn't want to end up marrying a townie and working at the Hinky Dinky. You know, what we had as our grocery store.
Mm-hmm. You know? And she says, I just wanted something else. And they ask, well, you know, what did you want? And she said, more. She got this makes what happens in season six so much more tragic because she kind of just ends up like that. Not quite cashier. Like, her job has dignity, even though the rest of her existence does not.
And we don't, you know, she has the future ahead of her.
Yes.
You know, as well, like after that, like the townie who she's married with in a worse city than Kansas or worse state than Kansas, Nebraska.
Oh, God.
One of our worst.
Do you do this thing where, like, when you hear about like a town in a work of fiction, like check to see if it's real and then just kind of like Google Maps around it?
Not usually. No.
Yeah. Yeah. Just from Red Cloud, an actual town. And I've done a little tour of Red Cloud.
Do they have a Hinky Dinky?
I did not spot a Hinky Dinky.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe the Hinky Dinky closed down.
Yeah.
The cashier killed himself.
He was unloved.
She was a load-bearing townie.
Oh, God. Yeah.
We're at the Hinky Dinky Chronicles prequel.
Holly's working there. Prequel. Yeah, no, still Holly's working there. Holly.
Yeah. Time shenanigans. You know, what more do you want? She says you want something more than that. Mm-hmm. She's leaving. Rick says, you know, hey, you're going to hear from us within a day at the most, which is a really good sign. And she calls him Howard, at this point, and Rick takes it in stride. You know, I've been called worse.
You never want to call the teacher mommy.
No. It's not good. And Kim, goes up on the roof to smoke a cigarette because there's still part of her that is like, maybe Jimmy's right.
Yeah.
You know, she looks at the business card that Jimmy gave her and she cuts it in half or rips it in half and gets an idea, goes to the nail salon to have an emergency meeting with Jimmy. He's meeting with the AV teens, which is fun. We're setting up a commercial. We're going to see this next episode.
Yeah.
And he says, listen, I'm not going to take the job. I want to go into solo practice just like you, but check this out. And she passes the card over and it's torn.
Yeah.
What if we're not?
check this out. This is what I think of your offer. You stupid.
Get fucked. Yeah. Check this out. Flips middle finger. you know, take a look at this. You know, what if it wasn't Wexler McGill, but Wexler and McGill? We yeah. share a roof. We hang out all the time, which is what you want. But you do your law. I do my law. You can be mm-hmm. colorful. I can be the way I am. You still get what you want, and I get what I want. You know, yeah. She wants to work with Jimmy. Like, mm-hmm. she loves Jimmy. She wants this, you know.
But she does not want to be professionally entangled.
Yeah. Like, she cannot, ethically even, you know, she yeah. cannot go along knowing the things that Jimmy is going to do, that she suspects and knows on some level Jimmy's going to do. Mm-hmm. You know, and she says, you know, what do you think? Jimmy says, I don't know what to say. And she goes, say yes. And that's our mm-hmm. cliffhanger.
Yes.
We do not know what he says until next episode. Mm-hmm.
And we're gonna get Wexler and McGill at that dentist office. I was going to joke about what that building looks like. And then I remembered it's actually a dentist office.
Yeah. It's a, you know, it's nice. It's a nice mm-hmm. dentist office. Good episode. Stuff happens.
Yeah. Stuff happens. Good movement. God, I love that. I love the inflatable dancing montage so fucking much.
It's really good.
Yeah.
The fact that it syncs up to the beat as often as it does.
Uh-huh.
Like, just, it's a joy to watch. I was watching this last night, and Liv watched along with me, and she's not seen the show. She, you know, things of this nature make her nervous. So she's, you know, has not watched Better Call Saul or Breaking Bad. But she, like, sat down and watched this episode because she was just, like, real into it. And I kind of kept leaving hints like, you'd like this show. It's mm-hmm. good. And it doesn't get, you know, heart attack until like the last couple seasons.
Yeah.
You know, like good 4 seasons of it not giving you a heart attack.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you would like this show.
Yeah. I by don't that think point, you're going to be bought in, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You won't care. You'll want the heart attack.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but yeah, she even just that inflatable montage was just enjoying it just because it's really fun to see. It's like really good filmmaking and montagemanship.
Yeah. And also like a chance for like Bob to do some actual like comedy shit, right?
Yeah. Like improv.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, good stuff. Great episode. And the end of the season is really good. A lot of good shit's going to happen.
Yeah.
What can people do?
Well, if people like the show, they can go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv, kick us a few bucks a month, and get a whole bunch of bonus content. Not specifically for this show, but we have a couple of bonus shows on there where we talk about media. We think you'd like it.
Yeah. We think so. You can also, you know, tell your friends about us, leave ratings, reviews, talk about us on message boards, things like that. We're going to have different social media stuff coming up. Listen to the State of the Union if you haven't, but keep an eye out for all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Cool, fun time. And we hope to see you there. And join us in thanking our producer, Gwen.
Thank you, Gwen. Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, we'll see you next week with the beginning of the climax, the beginning of the end of season 2.
Yeah.
If you have thoughts, now is the time.
Now is the time. Yes.
Yeah. That was like almost like the end of the time. We mm-hmm. record the show in advance. So like if you're hearing this, write in your thoughts.
Yeah. That is at duckfeet.tv/contact. You'll see a button for best quality vacuum. Hit that and then go nuts.
Yeah.